Hare Krishna. Welcome back to the Mahabharata character series. We are discussing about Ashwatthamana. So in the central generation of the Mahabharata, among the characters on the side of the Kauravas, we discussed Duryodhana, then Karna, and now we are going to discuss Ashwatthama. Now the word Ashwatthama literally means horse voice. Ashwa is horse. Thama refers to voice. So it is said that when he was born, he screeched like a horse. That's why he was given the name Ashwatthama. Ashwatthama, like his father, has a Brahmana birth, but he has Kshatriya talents, and he acts like a Kshatriya, fighting in the many battles that the Kauravas fight in. And eventually, like Drona, he fights on the side of the Kauravas. Now, in one sense, all the battles that start, many battles that take place, which culminate in the battle at Kurukshetra, we can say they have various roots. At one level, the root is actually Duryodhana's envy. So, now the confrontation between Drupada and Drona, which eventually also is a part of the complex web of hostile relationships that characterize the Mahabharata, that has origin in something centered around Ashwatthama. So when Ashwatthama was a small child, at that time Drona was extremely poor. In fact, so poor that he could not even provide milk for his son. And once when Ashwatthama was playing with other boys, and they said, "We are drunk milk and it is so delicious, it is like the earth's nectar." So he went to his mother and he asked, "What is milk? I want to have milk." And his mother felt so pained that she's not able to provide him even milk. Not only she's not been able to provide him milk, that this child doesn't even know what is milk. So, but still concealing her grief, she took some flour, mixed it with water, and put something for taste in it, and then she gave it to him. And he said, "This is milk." And he drank it and he felt, "Oh, this is also delicious," because of the sweetness put over there. And he said, "Oh, this is," he said, "I had drunk milk." He was happy. Now Drona was at home and he appreciated Kripi's resourcefulness. But he felt like deprecating himself for his own unresourcefulness in not being able to provide for his family. And that time he decided that acting as a Brahmana was not going to help him. He would act as a Kshatriya. It was at that time that he also went to Drupada and approached, when Drupada refused to help him. Then he felt, "My only way is to do some other occupation." And he decided to act as a Kshatriya. He learned from Parashuram. And that's how he came to the, with the Kshatriya knowledge, he came to the Kuru areas. And then Bhishma recognized him, and Bhishma invited him to take on the post of the trainer of the Pandavas and Kauravas. So now Drona had a very special affection, attachment to Ashwatthama. And Ashwatthama himself was virtuous, but he appreciated the virtuous Pandavas, but somehow he also liked Duryodhana, and especially he and Duryodhana's shared a common negative perception of the Pandavas. That negative perception was because of what? Duryodhana had felt that the Pandavas have usurped his position in the heart of the Kuru elders, in the heart of the Kuru citizens, and on the Kuru throne. And similarly, Ashwatthama felt that Arjuna has usurped my position in the throne of the heart of Drona. Drona had a natural affection for his son, but when he found that Arjuna was excelling Drona, then he actually started feeling Arjuna was excelling Ashwatthama. So then Drona also had affection for Arjuna. So although he had affection for Ashwatthama, no doubt as a son, but Ashwatthama wanted the affection not only as a son but also as a student. As the best, as a very dear son and as the best student. But Arjuna was clearly the best student. And Ashwatthama respected Arjuna for his archery skills, But still, that always rankled in his heart that, you know, I was not my father's best student. And that sort of created a kinship between him and Drona and Duryodhana. And Ashwatthama doesn't play a very prominent role in the initial phases of the Mahabharata. In fact, an incident that happens during the phase is also told later by Krishna to indicate Ashwatthama, to give a glimpse of Ashwatthama's nature. So Krishna tells this after Ashwatthama in the Sauptik Parva has done the brutal killing of the Kauravas, of the Pandavas. We'll discuss that incident here right now to understand the point. So Krishna tells that once when I was in Dwarka, Ashwatthama came there and he said that, I have got the Brahma Shirastra which my father has given me. He says, I would like to do a swap with you. Take my Brahma Shira and you give me your Sudarshana. So Krishna said, Krishna said this to the Pandavas. This is what Ashwatthama had said. So Krishna replied that, he says, you know, the Sudarshana is lying over here. I don't need your Brahma Shira. You can take it yourself. Ashwatthama came and he lifted it up. Now the Sudarshana Chakra can cut a mountain, it can cut anything and everything. It is Vishnu's weapon. So, it could not be lifted by anyone else. Ashwatthama couldn't even move it. Couldn't budge it. And finally, Krishna just watching, smiling. And Ashwatthama gave up his efforts. So then, Krishna told him, when Ashwatthama was about to depart, he said, why did you want the Sudarshan? He said, if I had a Sudarshan, then Sudarshan is the greatest weapon in the whole creation. And having it, I would become the greatest warrior. And with the Sudarshan, I would have challenged you for war. And I would have defeated you. And then I would have become established as the greatest warrior. So now, this incident tells us several things. First of all, it's Ashwatthama's brazenness in telling this, in desiring this, and then openly telling this to Krishna also. But along with that, his desire, he was born a Brahmana, but he had the Kshatriya desire to be recognized as a great warrior. And in fact, he was ready to deprive the Lord of his weapon for that. Now, Ashwatthama was a Shiva worshipper. So, we'll see how that comes to play a role later. Throughout his life, he worshipped Shiva, primarily. And then, eventually, when the war happened, he fought on the side of the Pandavas, on the side of the Kauravas. And he was a fierce warrior. And he was practically undefeatable by anyone. And one of the days, he had a very fierce fight with Ghatotkach. And fought Ghatotkach. And he actually completely bested Ghatotkach. You know, he said, he fought. And as Ghatotkach was getting wounded, Ashwatthama told Ghatotkach, oh child, he says, it's not proper for me to fight with you because you are but a child in front of me. He says, Bhima is my equal and you are his son. So he says, as long as I'm kindly disposed, go away from here. He says, otherwise, if once I get angry, then in anger, a person may do what is improper. And for me to kill you would definitely be improper. Now Ghatotkach was enraged. And he says, what? You considered me inferior to you? He says, I am as strong as a ten-headed Ravana, the emperor of the Rakshasas, and I will destroy you. And Ashwatthama just laughed. And he fought. Ghatotkach fought with all his strength, but he was no match to Ashwatthama. And finally, under Ashwatthama's continuous, relentless assault, Ghatotkach fell unconscious. And he fled, to be taken away from there on his chariot. So, Ashwatthama had many victories during the war. And even before that, in the Virat War, he had fought fiercely with Arjuna. And he had fought, and they were equal in skills. But eventually, Arjuna had an unending quiver of arrows. But Ashwatthama did not have that. And once his quiver got exhausted, he had to retreat. Whereas Arjuna's quiver, being unrestricted, was able to allow him to fight for a long time. Then in the Kurukshetra war itself, Bhima and Ashwatthama also had a very severe and prolonged fight in one of the days. And the fight went just on and on and on and on and on. And there seemed to be no end to it. Finally, Ashwatthama had wounded Bhima, Bhima had wounded Ashwatthama. So eventually, Bhima severely wounded Ashwatthama. Ashwatthama fell unconscious and he had to be taken away. But that effort had taken so much energy that after Bhima knocked Ashwatthama unconscious, Bhima also was so exhausted he fell, and he also fell unconscious. And he also had to depart from there. So Ashwatthama was no mean warrior. He could hold himself against the best of the warriors in the Kaurava, in the Pandava camp. So on the 15th day, leading up to the death of Drona, on that day, Ashwatthama fought fiercely. So actually Ashwatthama had become wounded and Ashwatthama had gone off the battlefield. So that's why when Drona got the news that Ashwatthama is dead, he started looking everywhere. He couldn't see Ashwatthama anywhere in the battlefield. And he didn't get any news of him. And because Ashwatthama was not there, he got the idea that maybe when Yudhishthira is saying that Ashwatthama is dead, it must be true. And instead of checking anything, he just accepted that and started going into meditation. And then he was killed while he was in meditation by Drishtadyumna. So after that, when on the 15th day, when Drona was killed by the Pandavas, at that time, sorry, by Drishtadyumna rather, by the Pandava forces, when the Kauravas just broke and fled. So at that time, Ashwatthama, after recovering from his wounds, was coming. And he said, Duryodhana, why are you fleeing like this? And Duryodhana could not speak the word. And he told Kripa, who just came by his side, he says, please tell what has happened. And Kripa told that Drona is dead. The bond of attachment, of affection between Ashwatthama and Drona was so great that Drona fell off his chariot, practically fell on the ground, holding his head, he's crying. He said, I can't believe this. And when he heard how he had been killed, Ashwatthama was filled with anger. He said, turn around, O king! With me at the head of your army, today we will take revenge and we will destroy the Pandavas. He says, I have got me with the Narayanastra. And that Narayanastra cannot be countered and it will destroy the Pandavas in one moment. It will destroy the whole Pandava army. It will end this war today. And he went and shot the Narayanastra. And that one astra expanded to hundreds and thousands and thousands and thousands of weapons. And nobody could counter it. Whoever tried to counter it, its power increased more and more. And only Bhima was countering it. And as Bhima was countering, then Arjuna and Krishna went and stopped Bhima. And then they told him, bow down. And he and Arjuna and Krishna and all the Pandavas bowed down. The idea is, we offer respect to Narayan. We cannot stop the inconjugal force of time. The relentless, unstoppable, inevitable flow of time will continue. But whether that passage of time is taking us closer to Krishna or away from Krishna, that will depend on our attitude. So understanding that attitude is extremely important. So the passage of time, what was happening was, Ashwatthama said that I will, just as the passage of time cannot be stopped, I will ensure that nobody will be able to stop me. And that was the way he attacked Narayanastra. But then he told, bow down. Bow down. And when you bow down, what will happen? Krishna had told Arjuna and Bhima, bow down. The arrow just whizzed by. And eventually the Pandavas emerged. He was incensed. And he used another divine astra, Agnyastra. But even that was not enough. Arjuna countered it. And when Arjuna countered it, Ashwatthama just went mad. On one side, he was enraged at his father being killed. But on the other side, he was frustrated. He says, when my best weapons don't work, what can I do? And he just fled from there. All his illusion. And then when he saw Vyasadeva over there, and he came off his chariot and offered obeisances to Vyasadeva, he says, how is it my infallible darts have become futile? And then Vyasadeva told Ashwatthama that actually Krishna and Arjuna are Narayan and Nara. And they are immortal sages. They cannot be destroyed. Wherever they are, victory is going to be there. So when Ashwatthama heard this, Ashwatthama, despite whatever bad associations, effects were, and his own bad mentality was, he still had faith in the words of Brahmanas. So when Vyasa told him this, he accepted it. And then he said, oh, thought better of Krishna. How can we win if Krishna is really if Krishna is really God, then what can we do about it? Really Narayan. So then the 17th morning, of 17th daytime, when Dushasana was killed, and the final battle between Arjuna and Karna was going on. At that time, Ashwatthama made a fervent plea to Duryodhana to seek peace. He said, there's no way that we can win. And if you want, the only way we can avoid complete disaster is by asking for peace. And he made a fervent plea. But Duryodhana was too lost in his evil determination to listen at that time. So Ashwatthama even spoke his mind at several occasions. Now we see he is fearless. He had a close relationship. And then at one time before the Virat War, when Karna criticized Kripa as being weak and partial and almost corruptible to being favorable to the Pandavas, so at that time Ashwatthama was ready to fight to protect the honor of his father-in-law. Not his father-in-law, to protect the honor of his uncle. Kripa was the Krupi was his mother, and Kripa was his mother's brother. So his uncle, maternal uncle. And then similarly, when Duryodhana was blaming either Bhishma or Drona for being weak-minded, especially Bhishma, so at that time Ashwatthama also said, "You are evil-minded," and that's why. Others are working their hardest to help you, you cannot see how they are helping you. It is you who are weak-minded. So he was really very candid in his speech. But then, especially the death of Drona, it distorted him completely. And then he came up with, he suggested the peace proposal, Duryodhana rejected the peace proposal, and after that, on the 17th day after Karna fell, 18th day Shalya fell, then these three warriors, Kritavarman, Kripa and Ashwatthama, they were the survivors, and they had retreated for some time to rest and prepare for the war again. But then they saw that Duryodhana also was fleeing, and they came to where Duryodhana was. And while they were discussing what could be done to rectify the situation, after now, they heard the Pandavas coming, and then they retreated. And then afterwards, Bhima defeated Duryodhana, and after Bhima defeated Duryodhana, then the Pandavas departed. And then when these three warriors again came back, and they heard, especially Ashwatthama heard that Duryodhana had been laid low by an unfair blow. He burst out in anger. He just couldn't bear it. He said, the Pandavas, how far they have fallen. They killed their grandfather, then they killed their preceptor, and now they have killed their brother, all by unfair means. Must punish them. And he jumped up and he said to Duryodhana, "O king, by truth itself and by all that is sacred, I take this vow." He said, "I will rid the earth of the Pandavas." And hearing this determination, Duryodhana was delighted, and Duryodhana offered him to anoint him the king with the water brought from the nearby river by Kripa. And then he said, not the king, the commander. And then he decided that we'll fight and we'll defeat the Pandavas. So at that time, they came to a burrow of banyan trees, and there they decided to rest for the night. So as the other warrior, that is Kripa and Kritavarman, fell asleep, Ashwatthama just could not sleep. His mind was burning with anger and the desire for revenge. As he was observing here and there, suddenly he saw on a tree hundreds of crows swimming. And suddenly as they're swimming, he saw a hawk with sharp talons swooping down on the crows, and they were just tuck, 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 one by thousands, they were just dead in a short while. And this is how the animals were killed. And actually, when he saw this, he got an idea. He said, "Yes, this is it. What will I do? This is how I should kill the Pandavas when they are sleeping." Now, actually, this was a very, very devious thing to decide. And to think this, to say that this was because of the I got this inspiration, because of that I did this. That was... So, can we say that every inspiration that we get is come from Krishna? No. Sometimes there can be demoniac inspirations also. And we have to see whether, when we get an idea, whether that idea is according to dharma or not. So, what Karna thought, what Ashwatthama decided was entirely against dharma. But then he felt surcharged by that idea. This is the way I'll take revenge. And he woke up Kripa and Kritavarman and started telling his plan to them. And Kripalu, Katanu heard the plan. They were so horrified that they just couldn't speak any words. They just stared at him in shock and dismay. So seeing their reaction, Sita wanted to defend himself. He said, why should we hesitate? My father was defenseless in meditative mystic trance, and that's how he was killed. And so was Bhagadatta was killed like that. So he says, Pandavas have fallen to the Vyasmis. We should also do what is required to take revenge. So at that time, Kripa made a valiant effort to try to make Ashwatthama see sense. First, Kripacharya, he talked about the principle that one should not act with impulses. So he gave, Kripa gave an interesting example. He said that just as when there is delicious soup, that soup can be tasted only by the tongue, not by the milk, not by the spoon, which is made of wood. But similarly, he says, what is morality? Not everyone can understand it. Only when we are sense controlled, then we are like that spoon. Otherwise, we are like the tongue. Otherwise, we are like the spoon. So we can't taste that. So we can't taste that. Similarly, one cannot understand morality without being sense controlled. This is what you're talking about. It indicates your anger, your lost control of yourself, and therefore you are losing sight of morality. So Ashwatthama would have nothing to hear of that. And he said, I'm going to fight. He said that different people have different opinions, and even the same person's opinion changes over time. So what is right and what is wrong is very difficult to decide. So that's why we should hear wisdom from others, look within, and then do what we feel is right. So in principle, what Ashwatthama is saying is true. But in practice, what he's saying is a colossal blunder of judgment. Because of our feelings can get warped so much. Warped means distorted, confused, so much that we may feel as right that which is wrong. And that's what happened with Ashwatthama over here. And as Ashwatthama spoke, he said, I have considered your opinion, but I feel that what I'm doing is there's nothing wrong in it. And in Kripa tried another try. He says, I am determined that those evil Pandavas should be killed. And he says, how can we sleep when we think of our king lying alone and dying in the wilderness, being killed by unfair blows? Those who have acted unfairly, we should also act unfairly with them. Again, in the principle, this logic makes sense. But the sheer scale of brutality that Ashwatthama did was completely out of the pale of what had happened before that. So, there may be wrong things, and we will discuss towards the end of the sessions whether the Pandavas also acted immorally, and relatively speaking, how will they fall on the scale of morality with respect to the Kauravas. But let's focus here on this point. He was justifying what he was going to do. So then Kripa tried another track, and Kripa said, no, don't worry. He said, now that you are so determined to fight, you are a Maharatha. And nobody can defeat you. So with such a determination to fight that you have, you will surely attain victory by honest means. So wait till tomorrow and we will also accompany you. And we promise you, we will fight wholeheartedly. And we will win the war. We will win the war honestly. There's no need to do something like this. So Kripa, again, when Kripa spoke this, again, Ashwatthama spoke nothing to him. He said, I cannot wait till morning. They have killed my father brutally and I have to kill them like that. I cannot wait till Dushyudhana is alive. And then now Kripa, realizing that this was a very seriously troubled situation, he finally gave one last resort. He said, my dear nephew, please think deliberately deeply what you are about to do. He said, there are many people who are more advised than you and me. It's best that we go to Dhritarashtra and we ask Dhritarashtra and we ask Vidura. And based on their direction, then we should decide what to do. So Ashwatthama would have nothing of that. And he started off. And when he started off, he saw that there was a massive... He said, whether you are coming or not, I am going. And then he started off. And then Kripa and Kadavarman looked at each other and they felt that he's just a commander. We can resist him to some extent. But it's our duty to help him also. And they decided to go with him. Now, as Ashwatthama had proceeded ahead by this time, he saw suddenly on the outskirts of Pandava camp a huge, strange-looking figure. This figure had a a tiger skin on his around his neck, around his waist, and it was having fresh blood on it. And then there was a deer skin around his chest, upper part of the body. And then there was a snake, ferocious snake wound around his head. And there was a snake which had armlets on his arms. And then he was also having fire coming out of his mouth. And he had 1,000 eyes. And he was carrying fearsome weapons in his hands. And Ashwatthama saw this terrible being. He became fearful. He started shooting arrows. And soon his arrows got exhausted. And he was wondering what is happening. And then he said, no god will be able to resist my arrows. But the fact that he resisted the arrows means that he must be someone special. So who is he? As he was thinking like this, he thought, got the thought, maybe this is Mahadev, the god whom I have worshipped since my childhood, Mahadev. So when he thought that this was Mahadev, he decided to test it. And then how he tested? He first attacked him with all his weapons, but his weapons just disappeared, leaving him harmless. And then eventually, when he recognizes, he offered his obeisances, started offering respects and prayers. So Mahadev spoke at that time. He says, since the first day of the war, I am protecting Pandavas, especially at night, by acting as a guard for them. So when Ashwatthama, he had initially thought that this is Lord Shiva, and when he realized that this is Lord Shiva, he had become very scared. He thought that because of the very sinful act that I was doing, contemplating the killing of sleeping warriors, so because of that, now Mahadev has come to punish me. So he thought that I have to offer prayers and propitiate them. So he started propitiating him. Kripa had told him that, what you are thinking of, it is too sinful to even contemplate, what to speak of, actually do. It will bring you infamy. You have been known as a great warrior. And this will sink your reputation to shreds completely. Don't even do this. So, but he had paid no attention. And as those words were ringing in his mind, he again offered fervent prayers to Shiva, begging, trying to propitiate him. And then Shiva told him that, yes, I have been guarding these people, these warriors, because they are all fighting on the side of Narayan. And I have affection for Narayan. But now their time has come. And because their time has come, they are all meant to die. And you are going to act as an instrument for their death. And use this weapon. And then as Ashwatthama was amazed to hear this, he was thinking that he will be punished, chastised, even killed. But instead he was given a weapon. And a weapon to fulfill the very thing that he wanted to do. As he touched the sword, he felt a surge of power rushing through his body. And he was delighted. And then Shiva disappeared. Now this may raise an issue. Is it that Shiva wanted Ashwatthama to commit this extremely sinful activity? No. It was Ashwatthama who desired to do it. And Shiva facilitated his desire. So it is said that we are often forced to act as we choose to desire. We are forced to act as we choose to desire. We desire, and eventually other factors take over, and they often make us puppets in their plans. So Ashwatthama was counseled against doing it. His own conscience also spoke, but he just crushed the outer counsel as well as the inner conscience and went ahead with his evil resolve. And when that happened, he started construing everything accordingly. Oh, he saw the hawk and the hawk coming and killing the birds. Ah, that's what I should also be doing. And he thought that Shiva has given me the weapon. Now he felt righteous, I am doing Shiva's will. But he was simply doing his will. And yes, it may have been the time for the warriors to die. But the Lord could have arranged for the death of the warriors in various ways. He did not have to do the terribly sinful act of becoming an instrument for that destruction. He did not kill because he was thinking, oh, I want to be a selfless instrument of Lord Shiva's will. No, he had his own axe to grind. He had his own revengeful agenda there. And that's why he was culpable karmically. Anyway, he went inside and he went straight to Drishtadyumna's tent. And Drishtadyumna was fast asleep and he went and had pounding him with his feet. And Drishtadyumna woke up and he was just stunned. He was exhausted and he was still half asleep. He barely recognized Ashwatthama. And if you, wretched person, killer of your guru, I'll kill you. And he started pounding him again and again. Now, Ashwatthama had a weapon and he could have just killed him with a weapon. But he decided, no, you should die a painful death. Bang, 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 bang. He started beating him again and again and again. And the Duma just couldn't fight back. He was trying, but he couldn't fight back. Finally, Ashwatthama, he said, no, kill me like a warrior with a weapon. Then I will attain the regions of bliss that are attained by those who die in war. He said, there is no bliss for those who kill their guru. He says, you should die like the animal that you are. He said, therefore, he said, with his feet only kicking him. And finally, with his leg, he crushed him. And he crushed him and strangled him to his death. A very vicious, brutal and cold-blooded death. And then, as the Vishnu was screaming, the women and the guards came in. When they saw Ashwatthama looking so fierce with a menacing sword, shrank back and immediately went out of there, leaving there. Then he saw a tent that looked the most majestic in the whole encampment. And he went inside and he saw five heads over there. And immediately he picked up his sword. And he, with a single swipe, he just lopped off one of the heads. Then second, third, fourth, fifth. Moments he had killed all of them. And then he thought these were the five Pandavas. He felt delighted, I have killed the five Pandavas. And then he went and killed Shikhandi, killed Uttamauja, Sudhamanyu had woke him up. And he saw Sudhama coming, raised his mace. He killed and he flung a full blow on the chest. But Ashwatthama was unfazed. He had got some extraordinary power by the power of Shiva. And he was completely unfazed. And he was dragged him down and pounded him to his death. And then, as other warriors woke and came out, some of them tried to fight with him, but with bloodlust, with violence, with anger, mercilessly Ashwatthama hacked them all to death. Seeing his fury and seeing his power, the warriors fled. Some tried to run for their horses, some tried to run on feet. Ashwatthama ran and killed all of them. And those who evaded him, now Karna, Kripa and Krittavarman, they killed the remaining ones. And in a short while, the whole camp bore the stench and the stillness of death. No one survived. And Ashwatthama came out and he saw Kripa and Krittavarman there. And they told him that nobody had been spared and he congratulated them. And they decided to go. So he was thinking, how should I tell Duryodhana that the Pandavas have been killed and their all the army soldiers have been killed? He said it will be difficult for him to believe it also. And he did not really want to admit that he had killed them while sleeping. So he thought what to say. He went back into the Pandava camp. He said, if I take their heads, then Duryodhana will believe me. And he went in. And as he went to the camp, the first streak of morning light was coming. And then he went to the camp and he saw that the five persons whom he had killed were not the Pandavas. They were the Pandavas' sons. Upapandavas, as they said. And his sword dropped from his hand. And he felt disappointed. He realized that the Pandavas had probably not been present in the camp itself. Because nobody had been spared. And there were no other five, like that kind of heroic warriors at one place in the camp anywhere. And he was disappointed. And now, after he had finished the killing orgy, the power of Lord Shiva had left him. Although he had the sword, it was of no use now. So he wondered what to do. He thought, and then he decided to take those heads itself. And he thought that at least if I show these heads and tell him that these are the heads of the five Pandavas, maybe he will be happy. And he took the heads and departed from there. So actually, what happened to Duryodhana, to Ashwatthama? You know, yes, we see Drona's killing was unfair, but it was, yes, the Pandavas planned to stop Drona from fighting, but their plan was to arrest them. Arjuna's plan was that, and Dushyudhana's killing of Drona was just an instantaneous, hot-blooded act of brutality. Whereas Ashwatthama's killing of the sleeping warriors was a cold-blooded, orchestrated act of hellish monstrosity. There's a whole scale of difference between them. And that's why what he did was unconscionable. And then he realized that the Pandavas are not going to spare him. And he decided to flee. First he went to Duryodhana, and of course Duryodhana recognized by when he crushed the headset. These are not the Pandavas, these are the Pandavas, the sons of the Pandavas. Duryodhana was disappointed. Censured Ashwatthama. He said, "Oh, you have ended our dynasty now. What have you done?" And Ashwatthama felt even more afflicted. He said, not only had he done a grievous misdeed, but he had also not been able to please the person for whom he had done all this. And now, mortally afraid of his fate, he decided to take shelter of Vyasadeva. And he went with the Rishis and was living there with a simple upper cloth and with a Brahminical dress. But Bhima, Arjuna, Krishna, and Sahadeva, they all came there. And Bhima was enraged, and seeing the rage of Bhima, Ashwatthama panicked and uses Brahmashirsha, the only weapon which he had not used in the Kurukshetra war, because his father had given him the Brahmashirsha but told him that, you know, don't use it unless your life is in extreme danger. It's a weapon which is devastating, and you know, after using it, it can cause the destruction of the whole world. And knowing that Ashwatthama was a little impulsive, he had not given him the full knowledge. So he knew how to discharge it, but not how to withdraw it. So in that sense, Ashwatthama's knowledge was like Abhimanyu's knowledge. Abhimanyu had the knowledge how to penetrate a Chakravyuh, but not how to come out of it. So now, when he was just trapped like this, not knowing what to do, so he, out of panic for saving his life, he took the Brahmashirsha and he discharged it. And then we discussed how, when Arjuna also discharged the Brahmashirsha, and then Vyasadeva chastised him, why are you doing like this, why withdraw it? Now, Ashwatthama didn't know how to withdraw it, but again, you know, he had already done so many wrongs, he did not want to confess one more wrong. So instead of telling that I can't withdraw, he just decided to maliciously redirect the Brahmastra to Uttara's womb. Now it is like iniquity upon iniquity upon iniquity. Okay, as if the killing the whole camp of Pandava warriors while they're sleeping was not bad enough. You know, killing an embryo in the womb is again horrendous. But he was so, that temptation for punishing them, what he felt was the misdeed. It was a misdeed. But he, the righteous sense of self-righteousness that he got and the punishment that he wanted to do because of that, it was so horrendous that he just felt that anything it goes. And he directed the Brahmastra towards the womb of Uttara. And then we know how Krishna saved Parikshit over there. And then the Pandavas arrested Ashwatthama, and then we discussed the whole debate between Arjuna, Draupadi, Krishna, Bhima, Yudhishthira, and then finally it was decided that his head were tied on top and there was a jewel on top of his head. So Arjuna cut off the hair along with the jewel came off, and he gave the jewel to Draupadi. Here is the jewel that he had wanted, and the jewel was the reservoir of all the power of Abhimanyu. As soon as the jewel was lost, he shrunk on the ground, shriveled and fell, collapsed. All his power was gone, and Krishna cursed him. He said, 3,000 years you will have to suffer living in wilderness, away from society, the foul smelling body. Your body will be foul smelling. Only after that will you be able to come back into human society. And of course, Ashwatthama is one of the Chiranjeevas, along with Vyasadeva, Bhishan, Markandeya, and others. So, it is said that he will live on till Kali Yuga's end, and he will also, eventually, based on whatever punya he has done, he will attain a auspicious position afterwards. But 3,000 years was the punishment that he got. So, Ashwatthama now, what does he illustrate? He's a real character, in the sense that he was a part of the Mahabharata, but illustrates how, because of petty dissatisfaction, one can make heavy misjudgments. Petty dissatisfaction was, Abhimanyu is, Arjuna is the favorite student, not me, I am not the favorite student. Well, still, Drona had given him all the knowledge, almost everything. And Ashwatthama, then this kinship with Duryodhana, that, and his misplaced desire to please Duryodhana, his misplaced desire that in taking revenge for his father's death, anything goes. So that temptation for punishing can be a very dangerous temptation because it can make us lose sense of proportion in meting out the punishment. And that's what happened to Ashwatthama. And in trying to correct one wrong, he ended up doing a wrong that was catastrophically far, far greater. So Ashwatthama demonstrates how to be very careful in our actions and not let our passions, especially passions like anger and the desire for revenge, make us forget dharma and do horrendously adharmic things. Thank you. Hare Krishna.